Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Almost. Our celebration of the birth of Christ will finally begin in less than 9 hours, actually 9 hours exactly, when we sing Christmas carols together, celebrate the light of the world that has come in flesh to save us from the darkness of our sins, and herald our Prince of Peace. It continues tomorrow as we rejoice in the coming of our newborn King, born to set us free from our bondage to sin. But we're not quite there yet. This morning, we continue to anticipate Christ's coming, Christ's birth, on this final Sunday in Advent, weird as it is that this falls on Christmas Eve Day. And what better way for us to anticipate the mission of our Messiah than in our prayer for today? And so I invite you to, for the penultimate time, turn with me to the collect of the day, which we will read together. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So we pray in this collect, we pray that God would lift away the sins which weigh us down. Now, I want you to, for a moment, imagine the heaviest weight you have ever tried to lift. It could be a piano or a piece of furniture. Maybe you thought that you'd emptied all the drawers of the dresser before moving it, but you'd forgotten. Maybe it's lifting or moving a vehicle. Or it could, like me, be more like, or at least the most memorable one, is banana boxes full of books. I don't recommend trying that. But whatever it is, if it weighed more than you, would you be able to lift it on your own, if you're not a football player? There's a video on YouTube of a, or there are a couple of videos of people who are moving a semi-truck just by themselves, the strongest men in the world. How many of us could honestly say that they can move a weight that big? But even heavier than those physical weights is this spiritual weight of sin which crushes us every day of our lives. In Romans chapter 7, Paul writes, "I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want, that is what I keep on doing." That is what sin is. That is what life is with sin, is that everything we do is contrary to, or everything we do that is contrary to God's will or contrary to God's law, it is sin. And that is where our desire is, where our hearts are bent towards, is sin, in thoughts, in words, in deeds. Even if you do not do the thing that God forbids, the desire to do it itself, that also is sin. All of these things separate us from God. All of these things crush us under this weight of sin. And as they separate us from God, they also separate us from those around us as well. Think of at this time of year, I think of families getting together, and with that can sometimes come family drama caused by sin or by the consequences of sin. Anger and resentment can fester. Hurtful or thoughtless words lead to broken relationships that can be hard or nigh impossible to repair, to reconcile. The weight of all this sin, all of these broken relationships, all of this difficulty, all of this sin is more than enough for us to collapse under it. There is no way for us to lift it on our own. How do we respond then to all of this sin which weighs down on us so heavily? Perhaps it's denial, ignoring that there's a problem, pretending that everything is okay. There isn't any problems between me and my family. We just keep missing each other. Maybe it's anger, rejecting God's law, reveling in the sin, blaming the other person for the broken relationship. Perhaps it's despair, accepting sin and its consequences simply as a part of life that we can't change, and there's no point in even trying. Perhaps bargaining, trying to fix it on our own regardless of the consequences, even when our attempts will only lead to more hurt, more sin, more brokenness. But regardless of our response to sin, we so often try to fix it or to get rid of it on our own. But we can't. On our own, we are crushed under the weight of sin, under the consequences of our sins of thought, word, and deed. We need someone outside of ourselves to lift that weight from our shoulders. And thank God that we are not left to our own devices to be crushed under this sin. Left on our own, there's no way that we could stand. All our efforts go for nothing when we try to save ourselves. The only way to remove this burden, the only way for it to be lifted away, is for someone else to take the burden on themselves. And that is what we pray for today, that the Lord would come and help us by his might, that the sins that which weigh us down may be quickly lifted away from us by his grace and mercy. We have nowhere else to turn in our sinful, broken state than to someone else, to God, who makes and keeps all his promises. In 2 Corinthians, Paul assures us all the promises of God find their yes in him. God has promised that he will not leave us in this sinful, broken state. God has promised that he will take away our sin, save us from the consequences of our sins. That's the meaning of the name given to the special child promised in our gospel, Jesus, he saves. In our Old Testament reading from 2 Samuel, David wished to build a house for God to do something for him. See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent. But then God's response is quite telling. God says, you will not build a house for me. In fact, you cannot build a house for me. I don't need your actions on my behalf. I am so much greater and more powerful than you are. That is what God says to us as well. That is God's promise to us. He is so much greater, so much more powerful. He is not bound to sink to a certain place, to a certain temple. He is here with us, greater than us, to lift away our burdens. God turns David's desire on its heart, on its head, when he says that he will build David into a house. David's name will be great. David's kingdom and throne will be established, and it will be established by God. This is God's action for him. We cannot lift away the burden. We cannot do it all by ourselves. All we can do is to rely on God's might. But his might does not come in a package that we expect, because the Lord's might, for which we pray, is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians, God tells Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." When we are strong, when we feel strong and powerful on our own, our focus can turn to us and away from God. But when we are weak, it is all the clearer to us that God is responsible for all our actions, which God shows all through the Bible. In the book of Judges, the judge Gideon is a strong example. God's people are being oppressed by a powerful nation of the powerful nation of Midian, and Gideon is called by God to defeat them. God says, "Your 10,000 is too many to go against this 100,000. So we'll drop it down to 300 against 100,000. God defeats the enemies with this small, weak force to show that it is him who does it, not the people themselves. David himself, before our Old Testament reading, demonstrated this in his duel against Goliath. Goliath trained in battle from birth, David a poor shepherd boy. Goliath wearing armor and wielding weapons of war, David too small to even wear borrowed armor, goes out in nothing but a cloak, carrying a stick and some rocks. But God used small, insignificant David, weak David, to overcome the powerful giant warrior. God demonstrates his power through weakness. And it is his demonstration of his might through the weakness of the incarnation which we celebrate tonight and tomorrow. Christ humbled himself, became weak and insignificant like us, taking on the form of a servant. He was born as a simple human baby. You can't be weaker than a newborn. He was not born into a wealthy family, but into that of a simple carpenter. Grew up away from the capital, away from the centers of power, in far-off Galilee. In his life, Jesus is never powerful physically. All his power, all his authority comes from his words and the miraculous works that he does through God. And then the Lord shows his might even more powerfully in the even greater weakness of the cross. Jesus is arrested like a common criminal, betrayed by a friend, abandoned by his followers, executed in horrific fashion, facing the mockery and abuse of the people to whom he had come as their savior. This is the child foretold in our gospel reading, the child who would reign over the house of Jacob forever. This is the child who will be called Holy, the Son of God. The helpless infant who would grow up to be helplessly hung on a cross? Yes, for it is in this small, weak, seemingly insignificant child that the power and might of God could truly be made perfect. It is in the weakness of the incarnation that God's mighty power would act to lift away our sins. It is in the weakness of God made flesh that God would make known his grace and mercy. For you, for me, and for all those who hear and believe the call of the angels, that unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.